On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson is making a big noise against the Iraq War and President George Bush lately from the heart of one of the most conservative states in America. Utah is rock-ribbed Republican and strongly Mormon. Salt Lake City's mayor is lapsed Mormon and fiery Democrat. Now, from the deep Mountain West, he's calling for an impeachment in Washington and attacking what he calls a national culture of obedience. Bill O'Reilly calls him a kook. Fans call him a hero. Up next, On Point, a conversation with Salt Lake City's big-talking mayor, Rocky Anderson. Rocky Anderson joins us in just a moment. We go first today to reporter Derek Jensen. He covers City Hall for the Salt Lake Tribune. Derek Jensen, thanks a lot for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
Help us make sense politically of this man, this mayor, Rocky Anderson. Where did he come from?
Sure. Well, as the rest of the country is beginning to find out, Rocky has been polarizing people here for at least 7 years. He was elected in 99 and was known as a very passionate civil rights attorney. And he ran basically a real energetic door-to-door campaign and beat out two better-known Democrats who split the vote. And since he's been in office, he immediately became known for the activism that people see now. But it was primarily the environment that was his real cause. And so people have been used to Rocky being a national voice on that issue, essentially hopscotching to conferences around the world.
Yep.
On global warming and that type of thing. It hasn't been this level until late in his second term. And now that he's a lame duck, it seems he is using virtually every forum he's had and is beginning to get attention. But as you should know, Salt Lake City is quite unique in Utah in that it is quite liberal. All of our state legislators here are Democrat. They haven't elected a Republican mayor since Senator Jake Garn in the early 70s, over 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are somewhat accustomed to this from people in Salt Lake City, but Rocky has taken it to a new level, certainly.
So you've got an island of Democrats there in a very Republican state, 72% of the Utah vote going to George Bush in 2004. So if you X-ray the politics of Salt Lake City for us, Derek, what portion, I mean, is it 51% of the city that supports him, something higher than that? And how is Salt Lake City dealing with his celebrity around these issues?
Sure. Rocky has sort of a rock star following on some circles, and some people, cannot stand the idea that he's made a name for Utah in all ways that are sort of anathema to them. And this was true in both of his campaigns. In his reelection campaign, he was very polarizing then, but he did win by a fairly comfortable margin. And he gives voice to sort of the progressives in the city that quite like him, and they like the issues he stands up for. It's his personal style. He can be very abrasive. He's cycled through staff at a very alarming rate. People say he can be insufferable almost in City Hall and very difficult to work for. But he's dedicated and very passionate. He's done from his first term, he's fought for non-discrimination toward gay employees at City Hall. That ruffled feathers. He tried to liberalize Utah's sort of labyrinthine liquor laws. And at one point, he even argued to keep the dance clubs here open all night so people could dance off the drugs and drink and reduce DUIs. He launched a jazz festival that's been very successful. And then he took on the LDS Church in a Main Street Plaza issue where they bought
the Mormon church,
section
yep.
of downtown, and mm-hmm. that went all the way to federal court. And so, of course, Rocky has been sort of a lightning rod, and people either love him or hate him. The interesting thing is, outside of Salt Lake City, that's where the bulk of his criticism comes, and those are people who it would seem would die to be able to vote in these elections, but they cannot.
To vote against him in Salt Lake City, but they don't live there.
Sure, that's right.
Right. And so now, last week, fourth anniversary of the onset of the war, he's calling straight up saying for the impeachment of President Bush, saying, let impeachment be the first step toward national reconciliation. How'd that go down in Salt Lake?
Well, it was also probably not a surprise. Rocky's outspokenness began, as you mentioned, at the top last year when he, as you mentioned, really hosted one of the largest anti-war rallies that we'd seen in the West, and it happened as President Bush was in town. It ruffled feathers because it was an American Legion conference at the time. He's gone on to host a second one and some smaller ones at that. He also went to Olympia, Washington for a an impeachment rally, rather, at their state legislature. And he's been in D.C. multiple times for marches. So people here are not surprised. The letters to the editor, the blogs, all of this stuff lights up and says, we wish you wouldn't do it. We wish you could kind of spend time on the nuts and bolts issues of the city, because he's giving Utah this very activist reputation that may not be representative. At the same time, you will have people in Salt Lake City that privately are rooting for the mayor, giving voice to issues that they might hold dearly. And so it's a mixed bag, to be sure. And again, it plays into this liberal island that Salt Lake City is in a very red state.
Derek Jensen, thanks so much for raising the curtain for us here. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Derek Jensen covers City Hall for the Salt Lake Tribune in Salt Lake City, Utah. Let's go there right now, speak to the man himself. Joining me now from Salt Lake City is Mayor Ross Rocky Anderson. Elected to office in 1999, he's made his unusual mark, taking on issues from safe streets to global warming, Darfur, and Iraq. Lately, the mayor has taken on the president. Rocky Anderson, thank you for being with us.
Hello, Tom. I'm thrilled to be with you.
Why are you calling for the impeachment of President Bush?
Because I think this president has so badly abused his power, breached his trust in remarkable ways with our Congress, with the American people, has violated so many of our international treaty obligations, our Constitution, our domestic statutory laws, and has been responsible for ordering and condoning heinous human rights violations. We need to draw the line. The impeachment clause of the United States Constitution is actually there to help preserve our balance of power among the three branches of government. It is there to help preserve our democracy against those who would go so far beyond their executive power. And if there is ever a time that impeachment would be appropriate, this is certainly the time.
Rocky Anderson, how do you look at your role? We're going to hear some pushback before we're finished here from around the corner, from the head of the Colorado Republican State Party, the state chairman there. But as mayor in Salt Lake City, you've picked up this megaphone to the world at this point. Are you getting too big for your britches, or is this the citizens' responsibility? How do you understand your role in these big global issues?
Well, I think anybody has a huge responsibility, especially anyone in any leadership position, to stand up and speak out against the kinds of abuses of power, the constitutional and treaty violations that we've seen, the human rights abuses that have been perpetrated in our nation's name. You know, we look at what happened in Argentina during the dirty war in the 70s and the 80s and are so appalled that a government would actually kidnap and disappear and torture people, even kill those people who were kidnapped. Our country has been doing the same under this Bush administration, under it's a very sterile term, extraordinary rendition, but this president has ordered that these people be kidnapped and just under just extraordinarily tragic circumstances. A German city a citizen, Khaled El-Masri, who is because of a mistake in identity, his name was spelled the same way as somebody that they thought was affiliated with Al-Qaeda, was picked up during his vacation, kidnapped, sent off to Afghanistan prison, where he was held and tortured for 5 months, beaten and sodomized, and it was all a case of mistaken identity. What are we becoming? I think that we have all got to stand up. I think that we would look back, and if a mayor in Argentina during the Dirty War, if a mayor in Germany during the lead up to Nazism had stood up, in Russia during the period of their gulags, when their government was listening in on citizens' conversations, just like our president done, is in blatant violation of our Constitution and our own domestic law, I think we'd look back and say, thank goodness that there were people like that mayor, like any leader, that stood up and spoke out against it. And I think that impeachment is absolutely crucial to send a message to the world and to the future of our country that this is not representative of America. This is not representative of our values, and we are not this kind of a nation, and we won't stand for it anymore. And I think that it's also a very important message to the future that the president cannot declare for himself a unitary executive power. That's what President Bush and Vice President Cheney call it, meaning that in times of war, they get to be a dictator. They are above the law, above the Constitution, and beyond the reach of the courts. It's a frightening time.
Last week in Salt Lake City, on the fourth anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, Mayor Rocky Anderson made a speech calling for President Bush's impeachment.
I do not state this lightly, but the record demonstrates President Bush is a war criminal. He has blatantly violated relevant treaties and constitutional provisions in leading the United States to a so-called preemptive war against Iraq without any justification in law or in fact. He must be held accountable. In our democracy, under our constitutional system of government, he must be held accountable through impeachment and removal from office for the many violated treaties and constitutional provisions. And if we don't, those treaties and provisions are nothing more than paper and pretense.
Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson last week on the fourth anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. Rocky Anderson joins us from Salt Lake City. Mayor Anderson, you're Utah-born and bred, but you're at this point pretty well outside the mainstream, if not the Salt Lake City, but the Utah mainstream perspective on the world. How did you end up in this spot?
I really don't know. Both my parents were good Republicans, but they were also great people. They valued the Constitution, and I think if they were alive today, they would be appalled at what our nation has become under this president. I hold very dear the underlying values, not only constitutional values of our country, but also the moral values, the kinds of values that have for our nation's history, set us apart from totalitarian governments. And we are becoming like them under this president who claims for himself a power beyond the Constitution, beyond the courts and beyond the legislature. This is a president who misled our country in very fundamental ways in taking us to a war of aggression that is absolutely violative of our solemn treaty obligations under the United Nations Charter, under many other treaties that absolutely prohibit the invasion, the attack by one country against another unless it's in self-defense.
Is that where you come up with war criminal? It jumps out of that speech last week like nobody's business. Maybe that's where Bill O'Reilly starts throwing the kook label.
Bill O'Reilly threw the word kook at me because he said erroneously. Bill O'Reilly is a pretty fact-free commentator. He didn't do his research. He said that, of course, impeachment requires a criminal violation, violation of the criminal code, and that's absolutely untrue. The impeachment clause of the United States Constitution contemplates the impeachment and perhaps removal from office in circumstances where the president or other major officials in the United States government have abused their power, have breached their trust. The misleading of Congress, the misleading of the American people toward a war of aggression and violation of our solemn treaty obligations is clearly an impeachable offense. The carrying out, the ordering during a 2-year secret program of warrantless wiretapping of American citizens in violation of both the United States Constitution, Fourth Amendment, and the Federal Intelligence Surveillance Act, an act specifically passed by Congress to prevent warrantless wiretaps and to set up a very easy procedure to obtain a wiretap under those circumstances. He just blew it all off and said, I'm President of the United States. I'm above it all. Nobody gets to tell me what to do. And he blatantly violated our Constitution, ordering the listening in on American citizens' conversations.
But war criminal, that is a phrase that doesn't go to presidents lightly. It brings to mind Nuremberg and all of that. I mean, how are you being received in Utah, your state, when you frame the president in those terms?
I think it's very interesting you raise Nuremberg, because the Nuremberg principle of command responsibility applies not only to the vanquished. We signed on to that charter, the Nuremberg Charter. And there are a number of treaties, including the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, Degrading Treatment or Punishment, and certainly the Geneva Conventions. All of them violated when we torture other human beings. And this president, under the Extraordinary Rendition Program, is responsible for the kidnapping, the holding people incommunicado without charges being brought against them, sending them off to other nations where we knew that they would be tortured, and they, in fact, were tortured.
Democratic Senator Patty Murray from Washington State, you were up there testifying in this direction before the state legislature committee recently. Her response, I have two words for anyone who wants to impeach the president, Dick Cheney. What do you say, Mayor Anderson?
He needs to be impeached as well. He's engaged in offenses that—
Where would you stop? Alberto Gonzalez? How far down the line?
No, I think Alberto Gonzalez will be gone long before there's ever an impeachment hearing in the Congress. These two men have worked in tandem trying to consolidate this extraordinary, unprecedented power in the executive branch. This concept of the unitary executive branch is absolutely chilling. When the President of the United States fought against Congress when they were trying to impose limits on our ability to torture other people. Isn't that amazing that we're even talking about that? And the president fought against that because he wanted the latitude to be able to torture people. And he lost. So when Congress passed the Detainee Treatment Act of 2005, the president, in one of his notorious signing statements, when he signed the legislation, he also signed a statement saying essentially that because of him being the leader of the unitary executive branch, during a time of war, he would decide when and under what circumstances that legislation would be applied to him.
I want to ask Rocky Anderson, you're very critical of the president, about as critical as you could be. You're also critical of some big chunk of Americans, if not all. You've talked recently about a culture of obedience, about an almost pathological devotion to leaders simply because they're leaders. But are you really pointing your finger at fellow citizens of Utah and saying you're pathologically devoted to your leaders?
I misspoke when I said leaders. In that New York Times piece, they didn't put in that correction. Because I don't see most of these people being leaders. I said obedience to authority. And I think people in positions of authority, there is a real predilection by many people in this country to forget about our fundamental American values and what's happening to our country. And rather, it's this cult of personality. It's the sense that you've got to follow our president, and if you don't, you're not patriotic. And President Roosevelt said, Theodore Roosevelt, I think, said it so well when he said, when your president's doing wrong, you have a patriotic duty to stand up and take him on, not just blindly fall in line with him. And if you do, that's not only being morally off the mark, but it's being unpatriotic, because patriotism is not love for the person in that office, it's love for your country.
Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson is with us, and he has been mixing it up all over the country, not least in his hometown. We're going to hear an alternative voice from the Mountain West in just a moment, but let me go to our callers first, if I may, Mayor Anderson, from Victor, Iowa. Vincent's on the line. Hi, Victor. Vincent, you're on the air.
Hi, I would like to say that I was at the rally in Salt Lake City. I was fortunate to be in Salt Lake then. And
Are you talking last August, Vincent?
This was the summer, yes.
Yep.
And it was very inspiring, and I have to thank the mayor for representing us that have no voice, it seems, in this government. I agree with him wholeheartedly that the President of the United States is a war criminal, as was the Vice President, and I think that...
Do you really mean that? Do you mean that literally, Vincent?
Totally and literally, yes. The Guantanamo, the whole issue, the Military Commissions Act, the Detainee Act, the whole thing, if we ever take this in a historical perspective, it probably won't be 50 years from now. These were war crimes. The first day of the war, the president committed a war crime by dropping those bombs.
Mayor Anderson says that this impeachment is a way to national reconciliation. Do you believe that, or do you think it would tear the country apart?
I think people forget that people like me who live out here in the middle of an Iowa cornfield, we're military veterans, we're patriotic, we're doing the whole thing. We love our country. And this president has destroyed our country. He has lied to us. He has taken us to a war that was not necessary. He is killing veterans right now. He's killing people like me and kids that shouldn't be killed.
Vincent, we hear it loud and clear, and we thank you for your call. I want to bring another voice in, if I may, from Denver, Colorado. The Colorado Republican State Chairman Dick Wadhams joins us. He's managed Colorado state campaigns for 18 years, managed Governor Bill Owens' 1998 campaign when he became the first Republican to be elected to office there in 28 years. Dick Wadhams, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
Rocky Anderson is making a big noise against a Republican president out of Salt Lake City, around the corner from you. What do you make of this very outspoken Democrat mayor?
Well, I hope he continues to become the face of the Democratic Party, but he's not the only one who has taken such extreme positions. We're seeing this in Colorado with the new Democratic majority in the state legislature.
But they're the majority. They're winning. Are the mountain states changing? Are they lining up in this queue?
This notion that somehow the Rocky Mountain West was some bastion of Republicanism for decades only to be finally broken in the last election cycle or two is pure fantasy. The fact is the Rocky Mountain West has been competitive for decades. Here in Colorado, as you mentioned in your opening, Bill Owens was the first Republican governor to be elected in 28 years in 1998. And in fact, if you go back over about a 22-year period from 72 to 94, there were 14 elections in Colorado, and we only won three of them for governor and senator. So, and you can go state by state.
So whatever you make of the history, is this a Democratic push that's turning back the gains Republicans made there? You've got Democrats controlling both houses of the Colorado legislature now, four of seven congressional seats held by Democrats. Right now, are forces like Rocky Anderson's helping the Democrats in the Mountain West, in your view, or not?
No, I don't think they are. In fact, you're right. The Democrats have had a couple of good cycles. But it wasn't that long ago in Colorado that there were dominant Republican elections, and this was described as a Republican state. The fact is Colorado especially is a very competitive state, whether regardless of what party controls the legislature or the governorship or U.S. Senate's offices. The fact is we will always be a competitive state. The Democrats have had a couple of good cycles, but that means nothing in terms of this 2008 cycle as we have a U.S. Senate seat up the presidential campaign.
Rocky Anderson, let me put that
to
you. Do you see yourself as a new face of politics in the Mountain West or an outlier, a one-off?
You know, I'm sorry I found Dick's comments really fascinating and all, but really completely off the point. And, Tom, this is not about political party partisanship.
Well, how can it not be? I mean, people run for office as party members, including yourself.
This needs to be about who we are as Americans. If Dick Wadhams and Republicans and even Democrats, there are plenty of Democrats who have been absolutely pathetic in the United States Congress these last several years, sitting by, well, you talk about a culture of obedience, a complacency that I think we'll look back on with real shame historically. But when you talk about impeachment, It's really about who we are as a nation, whether someone has stepped beyond their bounds, whether they're undermining the balance of power. And I think that those, regardless of political party, let's get beyond this partisanship. I'm becoming more and more independent every day. I'm not all that happy with what I see with the Democratic Party, especially here in Utah.
Rocky Anderson, hold the thought there for just a moment, if you would. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Dick Wadhams, is this going to come at you one way or another as a Republican there in Colorado? Rocky Anderson says this isn't partisan. This is being an American. Do you feel that region slipping away to that kind of theme from the GOP or not?
No, I don't. It's very competitive. And it always has been, and it will continue to be. But I do think it's an opportunity for Republicans, but the Democratic National Convention is coming to Denver, Colorado next summer. I assume Rocky will be there at that convention as part of that that event.
I think you assume too much. I'm not going to be there.
Okay.
Oh, you won't be there. Okay.
Okay.
I may be there with the shadow convention if there's going to be another shadow convention because I think these two parties are mostly off the mark right now.
But Rocky Anderson, you hear Dick Wadhams saying to you, Mayor Anderson, he wants your face to be the face of the Democratic Party because he believes it's a political loser.
Well, I think he hasn't looked at the polls in this country. This president's ratings are completely in the toilet. According to some polls, the majority of people have said, if the president misled us into this war, he should be impeached. If the president ordered the unconstitutional, warrantless wiretapping of American citizens, he should be impeached.
Dick Wadhams, when you hear Rocky Anderson call for impeachment, call the president a war criminal, what's your response?
I think it's sad. I think he's way out of the mainstream frankly, even the Democratic Party. Even the Democratic Party is not going to go down that road because they know that would be overreaching and the American people would reject that.
And well, Rocky?
All I would say is for someone to support this president and oppose impeachment, I would have to ask Dick Wadhams and the rest, do you believe that human beings should be kidnapped by order of our president? Is that what we've become, that we actually kidnap, hold people without charges, send them off to other countries to be tortured, or for the detainees that we incarcerate engage in torture without accountability?
Is that okay by you, Mr. Wadhams?
I think you ought to approach your own people and get this impeachment resolution moving with your party. I think that's what you ought to do.
What do you mean? And what about Rocky Anderson's question? What about kidnapping and torture, as he would have it?
I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to play on his turf.
Well, but do you say it has not happened, or it's happened, but we had to do it because of extraordinary circumstances?
We're talking about the Rocky Mountain West and the political situation in the Rocky Mountain West. What else do you want to talk about on that?
I guess it's a national issue. I guess all Americans have some stake in that, but we see where you're drawing the line there. Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina, and Angela, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. You know, I hear a lot of rhetoric about people not liking our president and throwing stones, and I would like to ask a question to Mayor Anderson if I could.
Sure.
What would he do if he were president to fight the terrorist threat that we have in this country today?
Great question, Angela. I would have kept our troops and built up our presence in Afghanistan and gone after the terrorists when we had Osama bin Laden cornered. If you read about this, you would know that Tommy Franks was over there, and all of a sudden we start diverting. And this was long before the president informed our country and Congress that he was going to be pushing for an invasion and occupation of Iraq, which had absolutely nothing to do with the 9/11 attacks.
So you're going all the way back to Afghanistan, Tora Bora, and Osama bin Laden there.
Clearly, we should have fought the war on terrorism where it was. I would take our – look at the end result. We have created more terrorists, more hatred, more antagonism toward our country by invading and occupying a Muslim country. How would we respond in this country if a Muslim country came in and militarily took over our country, told us what kind of government we were going to have, and then started building the biggest embassy on the face of the planet so that they could have a permanent presence,
a fortress embassy
presence?
But Angela, let me put it to you. You sound sympathetic to President Bush. Does that sound like a different tack that you could support or not?
Well, the problem I'm having with all of this is that I believe we are fighting the war on terror, and I think I think it's a very noble plan that Mayor Anderson has, but the truth is that we had Osama bin Laden in the crosshairs under Clinton's administration, and he blew it. And now it fell upon Bush to try to clean up his act. The thing that I'm seeing here, though, is that does Mayor Anderson believe that Saddam Hussein should have been left in power? I mean, did he agree that that was a good government, that he was not supporting the terrorists? I'd like to have his answer to that, if I could, please.
Sure. Rocky Anderson.
Yes. There's absolutely no evidence of any operational connection between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. They hated each other's guts. And we've played right into Osama bin Laden's hands because they're the only ones that have benefited from this. They got rid of Saddam Hussein, a secular leader in a Muslim country. That is what al-Qaeda is all about. I highly recommend to you, by the way, Lawrence Wright's book, The Looming Tower, talks about the genesis of this militant Islamic movement. And if you read that, you see that Osama bin Laden really was ready to give it up, except for our continuing military presence in Saudi Arabia was something that he just could not abide, and that's why he declared war on the United States. He saw that as a Christian and Jewish occupation of the Muslim holy lands. So what do we do to feed into how he's representing the West? We go into a country that had nothing whatsoever to do with the 9/11 attacks on our country. We invade and occupy completely in contravention of the United Nations Charter. We did it entirely outside the bounds of international law. So I agree. We've got to stop the terrorists, but we've done everything against our own interests. Our approach in Iraq has been so incredibly self-destructive.
But impeaching a president now, going through that kind of turmoil internally, do you believe that would set this country up for success in fighting that kind of threat or for chaos?
I think it would be very helpful because it would be a statement to the entire world that we do not condone wars of aggression. We do not condone just going it alone, be outside of the United Nations, against what the United Nations is saying international law required, that we do not condone the torturing and kidnapping and holding people without charges, and that we do not condone domestically our government abusing its own power against our own citizens.
Yeah,
it's amazing to me, all these conservatives that are always objecting to government getting involved in our lives, our personal lives, and yet this president ordered for 2 years a clandestine operation to listen in on the conversations of American citizens.
Maybe there's the Utah man speaking right there. Angela in South Carolina, thanks for calling. Let me go to June in Newton, Massachusetts. June, you're on the air with Rocky Anderson. Mayor Anderson.
Hello. I think that the Democrats in Congress have exercised extreme restraint in not going after impeachment. In the face of the Republicans who impeached Clinton for sexual misconduct. And also, I'm a little skeptical about what impeachment would do right now.
Skeptical meaning you're for it or against it or don't.
Well, I would love to see Bush impeached, but what that means is that we leave Dick Cheney in charge. And
Rocky Anderson says impeach
we go
everybody.
For a twofer.
Does he sound reasonable around the bend on that, June? Seriously, what do you think?
Well, I think that Dick Cheney is the brains behind everything that Bush has done, and that we leave him in charge, he'll change the country irrevocably.
But you heard the head of the Republican Party in Colorado, Dick Wadhams, not long ago saying he welcomes this kind of face, Rocky Anderson's face, on a Democratic Party, obviously because he doesn't think it can win. What do you say to that, June?
Well, I don't think that it can win. I really don't think that we're in a position where we can win anything. We just
won in November. Democrats won a majority in November in the Congress.
They did, but they aren't able to muster any change in the government. They can't even get a pullout because of the...
Because it's so closely balanced there. June, thanks very much for your call. Rocky Anderson, what about the Democratic Party? They had a lot of relatively sort of conservative Democrats put into office in November, not only by any means, but a lot of them, and recruited exactly for that. Rahm Emanuel talking about impeachment says, forget about it. No way.
Well, and the Speaker of the House said impeachment is off the table. And I understand that these folks have their narrow political objectives. They want to cash in on this war in 2008. Believe me, this country is so against this president and his handling of this war. The Democratic Party wants to take advantage of that. And I'm really appalled as an American. I'm not speaking as a Democrat. I'm not speaking in terms of political partisanship. I'm simply appalled that we have the tools in our Constitution to hold the president accountable for the gross violations of power, the abuses of power, his misleading us in very significant ways. This is not just my characterization. It's documented through and through that we were misled as to when our president was telling us that Saddam Hussein was building up this nuclear capability, that he was acquiring these aluminum tubes to build nuclear weapons, that he was trying to buy uranium from Niger. His own intelligence agencies in the State Department and the Department of Energy on the aluminum tubes issue, they told him, we don't buy it.
Yeah, and you've been fully outspoken talking about it. Let's listen to just a little bit, Mary Anderson, from last August. President Bush, in your city, Salt Lake City, you in the streets at an anti-war rally demanding accountability from the nation's leaders.
A patriot is a person who loves his or her country. Who among you loves your country so much that you have come here today to raise your voice out of deep concern for our nation and our world? And who among you loves your country so much that you insist that our nation's leaders tell us the truth?
Mayor Rocky Anderson in Salt Lake City last August as the president visited. Let's go to Norman in Nashville. Hi, Norman. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. So many times I always listen to your shows and have often thought, well, I should call, but I felt compelled to call today because it's like a breath of fresh air for me. I've been in a depressed funk about what's going on. I feel absolutely helpless, and I just want to thank the mayor and his insights and you know, just the unbelievable unwillingness of anybody on the, you know, who supports Bush to even talk about whether or not we should be kidnapping people. I mean, it's so crazy to me. But I just want to say thank you and right on, Mayor.
Norman in Nashville, thanks. Rocky?
Thank you, Norman, and please give your good mayor my regards. We're good friends.
Let me ask you about Republican politics for a minute. Do you think it's turning in the Mountain West or digging in?
No, I think they're digging in, but, you know, the Democrats are basically dodging this, too. Our congressman from my district, he calls himself a Democrat, but if you looked at his voting record, he's out there, they call him a Bush Democrat in some publications nationally. He's been right aligned with them from everything. I mean, he wanted to criminalize immigrants in this country, engage in mass deportation of 12 to 14 million of them. It goes on and on.
But so, Republicans are looking at the situation here, too. They read the polls like everybody else. They know the war is not going like they wanted it to go. Look at the 08 election, the Republican lineup there. One of these, Mitt Romney, of course, got deep connections with Utah, came out to help you with the Salt Lake City Olympics. You and he used to support each other very publicly, even in your election campaigns. Now, sort of drifted off you, Rocky Anderson.
No. You know, no, Mitt Romney, and I've got to say this because the media is trying to make a big deal out of this. And people
we saw
are
his statement
say,
where he said he doesn't line up with your politics anymore, period, essentially.
Never did. He supported me as mayor on a local basis. He felt Salt Lake City is a better place because of me, because of the things that I was doing. We worked well together in the Olympics. Mitt Romney never supported my views on these kinds of issues, and I never supported his on a lot of these other kinds of issues, but I supported him when he ran for governor because I basically thought he was a stellar leader when he led the Olympic movement here. And could I vote for him for president? No, because we have those political differences. I wouldn't expect that he'd vote for me for national office either, but he and his wife, they are good people, and he should never be stuck with any indication that because he supported me that somehow that's all changed. In fact, I think it's a pretty good indication in this country when people can maintain their friendship even though they have vast political differences.
And he's drawn that line, and we hear it today. Charles is calling from Bourne, Massachusetts. Hi, Charles. You're on the air.
Hello. My question is, all the blame is being put on President Bush.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to impeach President Bush, but the Congress actually voted for the war. So if they're going to lay all the weight on him, all the weight should be on the Congress also, and that's the Democrats as well as the Republicans.
So toss out all the bums, you say, or are you saying it's crazy to go down this path at all?
I think it's absolutely crazy to go down this path. The Congress has ways to investigate in their own intelligence committees to look at this.
And look at their own responsibility. Rocky Anderson, what do you say to Charles?
I think Charles is very close to the mark on at least on us going to war because this Congress, I think, completely abrogated its constitutional responsibility. It's up to Congress to declare war, and I think they handed off a blank check to this president in the most irresponsible manner. But I must say that when the president of the United States gets up in the State of the Union and misleads Congress, misleads the American people by telling us Saddam Hussein's acquiring aluminum tubes to build nuclear weapons, when he knows that his own State Department's intelligence agency, when he knows that the Department of Energy says that those aluminum tubes are not conducive for that purpose, and he doesn't disclose that to us, that is a fraud. That is an impeachable offense. And Congress is not responsible, certainly, for this president's two-year surreptitious program to listen in on the conversations of American citizens without a warrant. In fact, Congress passed a law, the Federal Intelligence Surveillance Act, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, prohibiting that very thing.
Our time grows short. Let me ask you, Mayor Anderson, when's your turn up, and what happens then? Are you going away? Are you all done? It's hard for somebody with a view like yours to expand his writ in Republican Utah.
I won't be running for state office in Utah, Tom. I'm finishing up my second four-year term here in Salt Lake City. I've loved being mayor, loved the changes that we've been able to bring about in this community, and I hope to continue doing work both around climate protection and human rights, and what I hope to do nationally is work on the grassroots level and in local communities around the country to start organizing people so that we don't see this kind of complacency, because if the people don't push their elected officials, it's clear. It's been clear ever since the Holocaust that our elected officials are not going to provide the leadership to respond to these kinds of major issues, whether human rights or global warming.
And that combination of admiration and exasperation with you in Salt Lake City, where do you think the ratio is going to lie as you head out of office, Mayor Anderson?
Well, in Salt Lake City, I think I probably still got a majority of the folks here with me. I think there are some of them that are thinking, well, it's a little beyond what the mayor ought to be doing to be speaking out. But again, I think we're going to look back, and those who have stood up and spoken up for fundamental American values, for our democracy, for our Constitution, will look back and say, where was everybody else?
Rocky Anderson, mayor of Salt Lake City. We thank you very much for your time and for being with us this hour, Mayor Anderson.
Great being with you, Tom. Thank you.
Listeners, you can continue the conversation and download the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. On Point is produced by Julie Jopp, Eileen Mata, Stefano Katsonis, Philip Martin, Hillary McQuilkin, Tanya Raleigh, James Ross, Christina Russo, and John Wibby. With help from Dan Ancles and Dan Trudeau, our senior producer is Karen Schiffman. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.